Thank you, Austin. Thank you, church. It is so great to see you this morning. I know if you are visiting with us, you are our honored guests, but also if you're visiting with us, I want to let you know that this place is special. If you are visiting for the first time, you've tuned in on the live stream for the first time, just let me tell you how special this place is, or if you've been visiting here a long time. When I went to Bible class, and I am privileged to be a leader of a starter, really, of a Bible class. We have a great class over in the gym. I look around, and there are four or five adults who are grown with children, married, that are, we're in my youth group, sitting in my Bible class. And then I come in here, and our song leader grew up here. And then Justin, didn't Justin do a great job? First time he's ever been over the Lord's table, grew up here. And I think about Justin led Barnes, by the way, Harold would not have worked. It would not have worked. But Justin Barnes, he didn't grow up here, but his wife did. And then Taylor, our youth minister, and then myself. I mean, I could go on and on. But why do people stay here? Why do people come back here? Because there is something special about this place. And so I want you to know, church, I love you. And I appreciate you very, very much. Besides Rick Copeland. Whoa, I shouldn't have gone to that one. Besides Rick Copeland, who is hungry, you know? The reason I bring that up is Rick and I joke about how long-winded I am. And anyhow, it was supposed to stay on hungry, but I messed that up. And that's my on me. But he brought in Bible class this morning a sack lunch. And it had all kinds of beef jerky in it. And then he passed it out to people in my class. So besides Rick Copeland, does that make you hungry? You see, hunger, is a natural response to a need for sustenance. Hunger is a basic human need that drives us to seek nourishment. Hunger is a signal that our bodies require food so that we can function and thrive and be productive. The natural hunger that we have and the desire for physical food that we have is crucial for survival and well-being. You ever thought no one needs to tell you to be hungry? Now, I think sometimes our body tells us we're hungry and we're really not. But no one has to tell you to be hungry because it's a natural response. No one needs to be reminded that when you haven't eaten that it's time to eat. You see, why? Because God made the body. He designed it. And the body is programmed to send signals that forces us into action. Now, as we talk about literal food versus spiritual food, I want you to keep in mind how the body is programmed to have that desire for that physical food. We know what it feels like, right, physically, to be hungry, to be thirsty. We know that those are natural, powerful, and persistent needs. I told a story long ago about a man who had survived several days, maybe a week, out in the ocean. And when they found him alive. And they said, "What kept you alive during these however many days?" He said it was his desire for water. And I talked about that, about the living water of Jesus. But his body knew what it was like to be thirsty, truly thirsty. You see, food and water, they are essential for our survival. And they drive us to be able to find them, even keep us alive in the case of that man. But when it comes to spiritual needs, spiritual food, our souls, just like our bodies, needs nourishment. Spiritual hunger is an innate desire that is put in us, and it's meant for meaning, purpose, and connection with something greater than ourselves. Do you know if we were to stumble across an undiscovered people, they would be in a tribe, they would be in a community, and if we observe them long enough, they may not speak our language, they may not understand what we're saying, but we could observe them worshiping. Now, they may not be worshiping Yahweh. They may be worshiping a statue. They may be worshiping a tree. They may be worshiping something else. But if it were possible to discover an unknown group of people, they'd be tribed up in a community worshiping. That didn't get there by accident. You see, God instilled in all of us a desire for something greater. The atheist of atheists, I don't know who that is, but the one that doesn't believe the most in God still has something lording over their lives. It may be money, it may be power, it may be something else, but God instilled in all of us a desire for lordship. Jesus is the greatest example we can have when it comes to desiring spiritual food. Jesus in Matthew chapter 5, what we know as the Sermon on the Mount, He simply said there, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness." And then He went on to say, "If you hunger and you thirst for righteousness, you're blessed because you shall be filled." What is righteousness? What did Jesus mean? The biblical definition of righteousness in the Bible refers to being right in standing with God. In other words, it would be living according to His will and His commands. Righteousness biblically embodies both moral integrity and justice. But to understand it better, let's look at the one who said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Let's look at Jesus Himself. Jesus lived a life of perfect righteousness. That's why He's our ultimate example. Everything Jesus did was about being right in the sight of God. Why did He come to earth? To do His Father's will. In fact, if you go to what Eli read to us in Matthew chapter 3, beginning in verse 15, Jesus answered and said to him, now He's talking to John the Baptist, right? Because John was like, "Oh, I need to be baptized by you." Jesus said to him, instead of His baptism, "Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to" what? "Fulfill all righteousness." Now think about this. Jesus Christ did not have sin. Why are we baptized today? It's a great question, right? Because we have sin, because we are imperfect, because God is holy and we are not. And so He bridged the gap. How do we get back to God? Well, it took a perfect sacrifice. What was that perfect sacrifice? That perfect sacrifice was Jesus Christ, who His whole life went about doing right, doing good, pleasing God. And so once He died on the cross, His blood that was shed, that we talked about through Justin leading us in that excellent Lord's Supper, that blood is what gives us life. Blood gives our lives our physical body's life. You take all the blood out, you have nothing. You're dead. but it also gives us spiritual life. But it took perfect blood, Jesus' blood. And so God, when we are buried and we are baptized, He contacts us with the blood of Jesus Christ. How amazing is that? What a blessing that is. And once we contact the blood of Jesus Christ, when we come up and we're born again out of that water, just like Jesus rose, we rise. We're a brand new person, covered in the blood of Jesus, which is going to continuously work in our lives if we allow it to. But Jesus didn't have sin. So why does Jesus need to be immersed? Why does He need to be baptized? He told John and He told us to fulfill all righteousness. It was right in the sight of God for Jesus to be baptized and show the whole world where righteousness begins. So John allowed Him. Verse 16. When He had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. And behold, the heavens were opened to Him, and He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon Him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." God was waiting for Jesus to be baptized. So much so that there were only two occasions that God called from heaven down to earth to communicate with Jesus in this way. The other's at the Transfiguration, but this is the first one. Why do it, Jesus? Because it was right in the sight of My Father. And I have a desire for spiritual righteousness. In Micah 6, beginning in verse 8, the prophet gives us a great example of how to live right in the sight of God. In verse 8 it reads, "He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." Today, God still desires us to do justly or to do good. God still desires us to love mercy, folks. We deserve hell. We deserve punishment. We deserve to be in eternal flames, but God grants us mercy. We need to love that mercy. And then thirdly, we need to walk humbly with Him. Now, getting back to the Beatitude, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You remember that those Beatitudes, they begin with, blessed are the poor in spirit. You see, Jesus started, again, He's getting to the whole point that I want you to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. In order to do that, you got to get a lot of your old out. I didn't come to destroy the law and prophets. He didn't come to do that, but He did come to add to them or really bring them to a heart issue rather than a law issue. In fact, that's why He said those that hate their brother, they've already committed murder, because now it's not a law issue, it's a heart issue. The New Testament's written on the heart. And so Jesus is trying to get the heart changed. And He said, blessed are those who are poor in spirit. What does it mean to be poor? It means to be in want, in need. He said, you need to be this way so you can recognize your need for God. Once you do all those things and you get down to our beatitude today, He says, now I want you hungry. And now I want you thirsty. I want you hungering and thirsting for righteousness, because it stems from acknowledging our spiritual poverty and dependence on God. But guess what? There needs to be constant pursuit. You see, when a person is immersed in water, baptized into water, for the remission of their sins, boy, they're hungry. And they come up and walk in newness of life, and now they are hungry. They are, oh, we call it on fire for God, right? But guess what? If they don't keep feeding that flame, that flame will dwindle. And that flame may burn out. Some of you have told your story where there was a time in your life where your flame burned low. But then you came back and that blood started flowing again from Jesus and that flame started roaring again and you fed it and you're here and you're just doing great things. Why? Because you're feeding the hunger. That hunger, that thirst has to be constantly pursued. We are never going to be fully satisfied in this life. If you've gotten to a point in your life, and I'm not talking about Justin Wilkerson is exactly right. We need to be content with what God has given us on this earth. That's what Paul, we just read about it in Austin's reading of Philippians 4. Learn to be content in all things. But nowhere in this life should we be spiritually content. You know, I look at Brother Conrad and Miss Glenda and 68 years, and they've been part of the church most all that, if not all that. But I'm around Miss Glenda every day, and I know she still is hungering and thirsting. So it doesn't matter how long we've been married or how many times we've been around the sun or how young we are in our faith. We will never be satisfied spiritually. So there should all on this earth, so there should always be a desire for righteousness. Jesus promised that those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be filled. That filling is both a present and future reality. You see, we experience glimpses of it now, but it comes to fullness in eternity. I was talking with a nephew of mine last Sunday. We were talking about heaven. And I described to him that the Bible gives us just enough to know that if my mama, his grandmother, Mimi, they call her, if Mimi goes in there and cooks this beautiful, just delicious-looking chocolate cake, we might take get a little bit of a dip of the icing or something and put it on our tongue. Well, what does it do? It gives us a desire for the whole thing, right? You get a little bit of taste of that sugar and you get a little bit of taste of that chocolate and they combine. By the way, chocolate by itself is not good, chocolate cocoa, but you put some sugar in it and it is phenomenal, right? And so you put that on your tongue and those taste buds wake up and they just light up and it tells your body, hey, this is something that you really, really want. That's what the Bible describes heaven like. You know, there are times it's described in the Bible, Revelation being some of those times. But it's just a little bit of a taste. It's just a little bit of a taste that we get to be able to experience the desire for righteousness. You see, I want all righteousness. I want righteousness to be in my life up to my head. I'm so full of it. But guess what? There is no way we will be filled on this earth. That comes in eternity. But if we don't seek the spiritual fulfillment now, we will suffer as a community of believers. We're not going to be satisfied, hear me out on that, because that's going to, in eternity is when we're going to be able to fill up on Jehovah and righteousness. But we should all have that desire. And if we do not desire it, we're going to suffer as a community of believers, as a church. If a congregation is fed entertainment, it will develop a strong appetite for entertainment. If a congregation is fed emotionalism, it will develop a strong appetite to be appealed to emotionally. However, if a congregation is nourished with the Word of God, it will cultivate a deep, enduring hunger and thirst
before God and His righteousness. God's faithful to meet our needs. He's never let His people down. When we seek Him first and His righteousness, guess what He does according to Matthew 6:33? He provides. But we got to put Him first. We got to desire Him first. Psalm 107 verse 9, "For He satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul He fills with good things." Now, in the latter part of my lesson here, I want to give you some practical steps. Some of these you'll be familiar with, they'll be reminders, and maybe others will be a challenge. But these are some practical steps to always have that desire for hunger, that desire for thirst for God's righteousness. Number one, we got to have daily devotion and prayer. I mean, you've got to start there. Every day when we get up, maybe when you wake up, maybe when your feet hit the floor, we have got to acknowledge God. And we got to desire it. We've got to long for it. Spending time with God, engaging in daily Bible study and prayer, you know what it does? It draws us closer to Him. It draws us closer. We reflect on His Word and we make application to it in our lives. Secondly, we got to seek God's guidance. Prayer for a deeper hunger and thirst for righteousness, it leads us to seeking what God wants for our lives. You see, the Holy Spirit is our guide. He is our comfort. And you know what? He will convict us in areas that we need to grow in or that we need to be refocused in. But we got to seek God's guidance. That's what Jesus said. Okay, Matthew 6, you know the story, right? It's still in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. The birds of the air, they have places to live. They have food to eat. And they didn't do anything. God gave it to them. They went and gathered some of it, but God provided it, right? He said, "The lilies of the field, you consider those? They are so beautiful, they are so clothed with beauty that Solomon in all his day wasn't dressed up like one of those, and Solomon was the richest man to live." He said, "This food, this clothing, this shelter, it can all be yours, but you got to seek God, and you got to seek Him first." Thirdly, once we spend time and devote ourselves in the Word and prayer, we're going to seek God's guidance. Now we got to obey His commands. We got to live out God's commands in our daily life. We got to strive for integrity, honesty, and justice. One of our youth group children here, Aiden Gaston, it's kind of neat. I was able to lead a devotional Monday at football. Aiden led one Friday, and then Bo's going to lead one on Monday. You see, but Aiden was talking about James, and he's talking about when we, like I said earlier, draw close to God, He draws close to us. Well, the nearer we get to God, and the nearer God gets to us, He's going to guide us, but there are going to be things we have to do. That's why also in James 1 verse 22 it says, "But be doers of the Word and not hearers only." Because if we are hearers only, we deceive ourselves. Fourthly, if we're going to truly hunger and thirst after righteousness constantly, it's got to lead us to serve others. We show righteousness through acts of love and service to others. The shortest biography of Jesus in all the Bible, He went about doing good. Everywhere that Jesus went, He was serving, He was doing, He was seeking righteousness. In Matthew 25:40, we have this here, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Jesus said those words. He said, if you did it for the least,
You did it for me. If I'm going to hunger and I'm going to thirst after righteousness, I've got to serve. I've got to look out for the needs of others. But number five, we got to have fellowship with other good people. You see, in the early church, they were a community. They were a neighborhood. You think about it. The churches were their neighborhoods. And so what were they doing? They were looking out for each other. But they were also spending time with each other. That's why Luke records for us that we got to be, today would be the Word of God, but be about the apostles' doctrine, right? That's what he said first. Be in the Word that's coming straight from God. They were writing the Bible, so they didn't have it. Be devoted to the apostles' doctrine. What was the second one? Oh, yeah, fellowship. Fellowship. The more I'm around good people, you know what I want to be? That's right, good. The more I'm around stink, the stinkier I get. You see, it's real simple. We have to have a desire to be around fellow believers who will encourage and challenge us in our faith. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. And so that leads me to number six. We got to worship together. I know you're here. I know you're with us. But we got to be here all the time. When you participate in worship services, and I'm not talking about stand up here. I'm not talking about giving a speech. I'm not talking about leading singing. I'm not talking about reading scripture. However, we need you that are qualified to do that. But when you participate, when you sing out, when you're praying together, when you are turning in your Bible, when you're focused on the words, when you're challenging yourself, and we do that together, man, that puts in us a great desire to collectively seek God's righteousness. In Acts 2:42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' doctrine, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and prayer. As we close today, remember this. True satisfaction is not found in the temporary pleasures of the world. True satisfaction is only found in the eternal righteousness of God. When we hunger and we thirst for righteousness, we are aligning ourselves with God's purpose, with God's love, and with God's peace. So I'm going to challenge you and challenge myself this upcoming week. I want you to spend some time examining what you are most hungry for. I try to abide by a pretty strict diet. It's a diet I enjoy eating. But one night a week, I get a cheat meal. And that whole day, I look forward to pizza. Because I choose pizza every single time. Because I love pizza. All I can think about that day is, I can't wait to eat pizza tonight. But you know, after that I eat cookies and I eat cake and I eat whatever else I can, but I do it for one meal to satisfy me the rest of the week. But folks, you can't do that with God. You can't come here today and feast on God and that be enough. You gotta keep feeding the hunger. So I challenge you to examine what you're truly hungry for. Let's make a conscious effort this week to spend time in His Word, to seek presence in prayer, and allow Him to transform our desires. Let's go forward this week not just being hearers of the Word, but be doers. Why do we need to do this? Number one, to please God.
but also so that our lives can be a testimony of God's transforming power. You see, when others see Jesus living in us, they will glorify the Father. I started this lesson with a lot of good food on there, and I asked, are you hungry? Well, I hope the rest of the way I gave you a lot of good food from here, and I hope it made you hungry. Today, if that hunger can be filled by being baptized into Jesus Christ, or if that hunger can be filled by getting out the junk food and getting back on the good food, we have the opportunity right now. Joseph's going to come and lead us in a song. And at that moment, you can step out that aisle. You can walk forward. You can confess Jesus. You can be baptized for the remission of your sins. Or you can come home just like several have the last few weeks, saying, I need prayers and I need to be back on spiritual food. If you have a need, make that decision right now as together we stand and sing.